And hey, welcome to the next episode of An Ordinary King, wherever you are in the world. Apparently we have a listener in Amsterdam. So hello, Amsterdam. So our guest on today's episode is Zuma Puma. She is a clown, actor, comedian out of Canada, but she bases herself all around the world. She's been based out of UK, Paris, Canada, Australia. She's been in LA. She travels all over the world doing workshops and fringe festivals and comedy festivals, and she's just come out of Adelaide Melbourne Comedy Festival as well, and she's traveling all over the place. She's a really cool chick with lots of great views, and yeah, she's just got great stories, and she was just a shitload of fun to sit down and talk with. So buckle up, enjoy the ride. It's a great conversation. I really loved meeting her. Enjoy. Here she is, Zuma Puma.
Do I keep these headphones?
Oh, you can if you want. I can give myself my own pair. Like that's the beauty of having extra stuff.
Now we look really professional.
Do you think this is the look, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
The of the outdoor studio. This is I just haven't plugged myself in yet. Yeah. Boom, like that. Are you still taking pictures of yourself?
I am.
Hey, peace.
Because it's like, you know, it's not great, that photo. That's why you got to take 100 so that one of them is good. That's how they go. You know, these professional photographers, they take thousands of pictures.
Yeah.
So that one of them is worth putting through Photoshop.
And that's how it's done.
And that's how it's done.
That's in your professional experience.
That's been my professional experience.
Do you think it's weird being able to hear yourself?
No, I like hearing myself.
Okay.
No, I've heard myself before.
You have?
I have. Yeah, I've done voiceover work. And I'm also a recorded singer, songwriter, back in the day.
Are you?
Yeah, I was. Don't look it up.
where
there's your incriminating evidence, you know. No, I was kidding.
So we've been recording for a while now.
Uh-oh.
3 minutes.
Did you get all that bit where it was all strolling?
No, I was trying to record through that.
Yeah, oh,
I was trying to get that, but I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I was too slow. You took off out the gate like a bloody horse. You were gone.
Oh, yeah. Pew, yeah, no.
With the accent. Talking about good. How difficult it was for you at school in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I've had to pretend I'm Canadian to get by. In my life.
You had to get a visa somehow, didn't you?
I had to get a visa somehow, so, to get out of this bloody country. So I pretend I'm Canadian most of the time. This is my actual accent on the day-to-day.
Did you get those earrings as a gift for doing the sweatbox studio last night? Is that like part of the fee?
No.
That you get like a free pair of earrings? And
I would have loved that. That would be great.
You
no,
feel like
these,
you actually got something out of it then?
These are huichole earrings from Mexico.
Legit, yeah. Too.
Legit, and from a different ceremony.
was that a
with a real shaman.
Okay. God.
Oh, God.
So, thank you for doing the podcast with me. Thank you for sitting down and having a chat. That's it. We're done.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a good 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pay top dollar for that.
4 minutes 40, actually.
I'll pay top dollar.
Yeah, you don't even need to smoke a traditional smoke pipe to get there with us. It's just, this is how it is. Just like that. I bust out all the gear. It takes me minutes to do it for 4 minutes of work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How much do you get paid for this?
Nothing. I've tried to get Snickers on as a sponsor, but they won't get back to me.
Ah, damn, Snickers.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's actually, I think, I don't even know where to start now. I think let's start with who you are.
Well, who I am. Well, I'm an Australian... pretending to be Canadian, pretending to be Australian.
How's that going for you?
It's complicated.
It sounds
a bit complicated.
Yeah.
No, who am I? Fuck, that's a big question. Yeah. I'm just going to roll it down. I'm Zuma Puma.
Zuma Puma.
I'm Zuma Puma. That's how I identify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why Zuma? I wanted to know that. Where did you get your name from?
It's a nickname my mom gave me when I was 6 months old.
And it stuck.
Yeah. It was basically I was only one of those freak, creepy children, babies, you know. I learned how to walk when I was 6 months old. And you know how big 6 month old babies are, right?
Yeah.
They're like teeny.
Yeah.
They're tiny. So I was like this little monster, bald child, baby.
Yeah.
Just walking, running around. But I couldn't stop and I couldn't turn. But I was intelligent, right? So I'd see a wall in front of me and I'd just start screaming like, ah! And and I was covered in bruises. My parents were always scared that I was going to get taken away.
The child services were going
to
turn up.
Yeah, they had to put barricades up and pillows around.
The house.
Around the house. Because I'd see, and they said it was hilarious. It was like a constant comedy show. Just like, I'm walking, and I see the wall, and I just start screaming. And then 2 seconds later, I smash into it, and it's like the funniest thing.
And that's how you turned around.
Yeah, well, eventually I learned how to turn around. But when you're 6 months old, you haven't figured that out yet. You know what I mean?
Well,
most
kids
don't walk until they're two, so.
Did you think you walked before you crawled?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was standing, and... Yeah.
Standing walking. Straight out of the
basically,
womb.
Basically, yeah. At the same time I could crawl, I started walking and turning. So they called me Zoom or Zoomer because I was a little Zoomer child.
Yeah, I can understand.
And then when I was a teenager, I was like, you have to stop calling me Zoomer. It's embarrassing.
So when you're a teenager?
Yeah, I was like, you have to stop calling me this. And my mom was like, oh, but I like calling you Zoomer. What if we spell the name differently? But if we spell it Zuma, and then nobody else has that name, you know?
Guaranteed.
This was before Jacob Zuma destroyed my name in
Who's
South
that?
Africa. He's an ex-president of South Africa. He's a really messed up dude. Yeah, so he kind of tainted my name for a while. So, that's why you got to add the Puma in on the Google search.
You just type in Zuma. You will not get the right Zuma.
You won't get me. You'll get President Jacob Zuma. Yeah, who's quite corrupt and...
Yeah, a legit clown.
A legit clown.
Yeah. Proper.
Tainted my name. Mm. My one-of-a-kind original name. No, kidding. Yeah, so we changed the name to Zuma. And then when I was looking for a clown name, because I'm a clown... Mm. And we were looking for, I was looking for, also a name because I was also doing it, like singing R&B and jazz.
Right.
And my real name's Nelly Scott. And it just like didn't really work with all those things.
Well, Nelly Scott actually sounds good as an R&B singer's name. Nelly
it
Scott
does
would
actually.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's why my career never took off. As an R&B singer.
Yeah, Zuma Puma.
Yeah, Zuma Puma, that was it. That's the maker.
I do say that if you didn't see what you actually looked like and you saw that, like, R&B Tonight, the jazz club, the blues club, downtown, you're like, Zuma Puma, you'd be like, you were legit expecting some middle-aged African woman to belt out some incredible soul songs and they're confronted with you. It's quite the contrast. It's not
it's
what you expect.
Contrast.
You're like... I'll stay anyway because I've paid to be here. But I'm right.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So and then obviously.
You're disappointed in my name instantly. So I'm just
no,
setting
I'm
everyone
not. I'm
up
just
for
saying,
disappointment.
Like, without knowing what you, like, you would need, like, your headshot next to your name so that people were like, are you sure this is Zuma that we're seeing now? This doesn't look like.
Yeah.
I was expecting the South African president to turn up.
Yeah.
And sing some blues, but. That didn't happen at all, did it?
No, yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, but now it's so weird because like now I've been identifying as Zuma Puma,
yeah.
Which is a great clown name. It's very memorable,
it
right?
Is, yeah.
It's a very good clown name. And now that I've been going by this for like 9 years now, it's weird when people call me Nelly Scott. it's weird. I don't feel like that's my name anymore. But people do still call me Nelly, like my dad.
Right.
You know, or like my grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they can't, I'm like, no matter how many times.
Can I ask you a strange question?
Yeah.
Why do clowns have the red nose?
Ah, that's a good question. Because the red nose is the smallest mask that you can wear. And so the idea is that it gives you permission to be more of yourself than right. you were before. And it's just a tiny little reminder. It's like, because right there on the end of your nose, you can see it, you know, and it feels ridiculous.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah. So it's just a constant reminder for the player, for the clown.
Right.
To feel ridiculous, to play, to
be open.
Yeah. And to just like go there to play with comedy, to feel stupid, to feel ridiculous. In clown, the word stupid and idiot is a compliment.
Right.
Yeah, it's like we really repattern and put things, yeah, upside down in the world of clown.
Like a good shaman.
Like you want to be stupid. You know how many times I've sat in clown workshops where there's like somebody who's just so stupid? I'm like, damn, I wish I was just
that stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah. Damn
it. Pretty liberating.
being stupid?
Yeah, or like wanting to be stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
wanting to be that idiot. I'm just like, damn.
Do you think it's being stupid, or do you think it's having no inhibitions?
Hmm. No, I think it's being stupid.
Because I think of like, because where you're staying right now, this is what I think stupidity is, right? Not where you're staying, because the house is amazing and we're actually sitting in a really nice backyard. But, so there's all these tram tracks, right?
Yeah.
Trams don't stop all that quick. They're like trains, but smaller. But way more dangerous, because there's people and cars and bikes. Stupidity is walking in front of a speeding tram with your headphones on, not looking and stopping in the middle of the tracks to change the tune.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah, that is stupid.
Yeah. Because it's pretty selfish. But I think that's what stupid is for me.
Right, okay.
Yeah, someone that's doing something potentially incredibly detrimental, not just to themselves but for other people around them, for no consequence or awareness of a consequence.
Yeah, that's a brilliant way of thinking of stupid. So clowns, yeah, play with that a lot.
Consequence?
I mean, yeah, totally. It's all about consequence and conflict. And like you go into the conflict,
right.
And you play with the conflict,
yeah.
And you kind of like explore the depths of the conflict, you know. Like I saw a clown show last year, or the entire hour of the clown show was this guy having a problem with a chair. Genius. It's fucking genius. And it was just, you believe that he's that stupid that he can't just sit in the chair.
Okay.
And it's like, you just get that. It's just so hard for him to sit in that chair because he's so stupid. And it's hilarious, you know? It's like all these problems with this chair. And an hour went by, and I didn't think to myself, that was an hour wasted. You know, I thought... I thought, wow, what a great hour that I spent just, like, exploring the depths of stupidity within our human nature. And I totally believed it.
So how much of a clown's performance is vocal and physical, or is there no vocal, or is there like a combination, or is there no combination, or is it whatever you want?
Yeah, there's so many different schools of clown. These are really good questions. There's a lot of different schools of clown. So depends where, you know, the country that you're in, who you're training with. Some clowns are especially good at physicality, and some clowns are especially good with more vocal. And then you get gibberish clown. There's just so many different styles and forms of clown.
Right.
But for me, yeah, I like to speak, and I like having words in a show, because I like the sound. I like the sound of my voice.
We've established this already.
I like the words.
That's the first thing you wanted. Can I put on the headphones?
Oh, no. Is that the first thing you got?
No, I can't. No, it wasn't. No, the first thing I got was you trying to be Canadian, Australian, Australian.
Did you get that bit where I was haunting my family about dying? About like, when I die, I hope you hear this.
I have to listen back to it, dude. I have to listen back to it.
Do you wish I didn't just bring that up again? Oh yeah, for everyone who knows me and is listening, when I die, I'm gonna haunt you in your sleep.
There you go. Well, you got it twice now, so it's really to confirm. Really lock it in. That's what's happening.
Haunt you with love. Okay. Yeah, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, that I like my voice. No, I can't. I feel like any comedian likes their voice. They have to. Otherwise, it's just like... Meh, meh, meh.
So when you're...
You hate yourself.
Where did you study?
Lots of places. I trained with Philippe Goliere in Paris. And I would say with him, he's got a real rule where like you can't use your voice unless you have a pleasure to use your voice, unless you love your voice. Don't use your voice. If you come out and sound like a little, like, hi guys, I'm doing this show. He's like, oh, we hate you. You sound like a mouse who's trying to poo. You know, that's honestly, he would say something like that. And so he's like, you can't don't use your voice unless you're going to have a fun, a pleasure to play with your voice, to fall in love with your voice, with the words, so that we all just are mesmerized with your voice. So there's that kind of rule throughout the school. But then there's also a lot of points in his school where you're using text and you have to use your voice. So you just have to find a way to have pleasure and love your voice.
is training to be or the journey of a clown through their life similar to that of like Commedia dell'arte, where you train to be one character? So when you're at school, are you learning one character as a clown or one, like, or do you have different personalities that you work on? Like,
so this
sense?
Is really, yeah, this is like the debate in the clown community. did you get an image right there of a bunch of clowns debating?
You know what? I did.
Great.
Yeah. And I no one said
that.
A thing.
Yeah.
Everyone was just trying to sit down.
They spend an hour just trying to sit in the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so there's this huge kind of debate in the clown community of like some teachers will think that it's all about your stupidity and the level of your stupidity, and whereas others believe that your clown, and this is what I believe personally, this is also what I facilitate, which is that your clown is you. It's not a character, it's you. It's right. Like all the stupid things, ridiculous things about you, and there's a level of like coming to terms with your idiocy and your beauty and your humanity and your flaws, like the things that you hate about yourself, all become a real point of conflict and comedy. Because I don't know, for me, conflict is comedy. If you explore, you know, it's on the line of tragedy, comedy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, so for me, clown is you dive into all of the parts of you and you play with who you are and the ridiculousness of you. So it's not like, you might do a little bit of character stuff. And I think that that's where people are, you know, a lot of people are teaching clown as like the tool behind characters. So the stupidity behind a character. But what I think what is clown is if we see a character, but we really see you mm-hmm. behind the character, you know?
Sure.
Like we can see the heart of you, like Robin Williams or something, you know, like he could play a character, but you all the time see Robin Williams.
There's always a percentage of him in there.
Yeah, you see based. His heart and soul and play and stupidity and sense of humor. And you always see that in the sparkle of his eyes. And it's kind of like, so if you are bringing clown into characters, then you want to see that spark, the like humanity or the spirit of the player.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think for me, clown is you. So it's like it's a big personal development. I feel like it's a big personal developmental process in understanding, in like accepting all the shit about who you are and how you are and why you are that way.
Has your clown changed? Has your clown evolved? Has you have evolved?
Oh yeah, totally, totally, totally. Yeah, yeah. And I've seen so many different forms, but also it depends on like when I'm training, who I'm training with and where they're encouraging me to go.
Sure.
Yeah, and recently okay. I did, like last year I did a training with Sue Morrison in Toronto, and she teaches Pachinko Clown.
What's that?
And it's called Clown Through Mask, her workshop. And Pachinko is comes from Richard Pachinko, and he's a Canadian clown from the 70s and 80s. He actually passed away in 88, but his legacy has continued. And in Canada, Pachinko clown is the big deal. It's like everyone's teaching Pachinko. And so it's like an exploration. It's kind of shamanic. And you work with masks, which is why obviously you're like, oh, why did you do it? Well, there you go. I'm really interested. I'm really interested in the worlds of like mystics and shamans. Anyway, yeah, so you do this training and it's like you explore the different masks of yourself. And it's this really weird process where you, you are like blindfolded and you sculpt masks and then you embody the masks and then somehow these masks tell you a part about how, like a little piece of how you see the world.
Sure.
And then it is kind of, it can go into that world of character for sure. But then the idea is that your clown stands in the middle and laughs at all the different ways in which you see the world. So like all the, so how, and it, this was a profound training for me because I'd always been encouraged to go into the kind of drama queen, like the bossy woman.
Encouraged.
Narcissist. Like, it's all about me. Oh, uh-huh. God. The parts of myself that I'm so ashamed and embarrassed of. And I'm always like, fuck you. don't put me through this again. But then it's also the only point where I can, like, really play and have fun with those parts of myself.
Sure.
that want exposure.
Sure. Okay.
But no, in this Pachinko training, it was like I could go into the part of me that is like mortified, like extreme stage fright, or just like so terrifyingly shy that I just want to cry when I talk to people, and that those were really, you know, I'm like, wow, these are big parts of who I am, and that I never get to explore usually in my work as a clown. And so it was really liberating for me to see that and to experience that, that all of me is clown. That if you just amplify every aspect of who you are times 50 times 100 and play to the comic value of the conflict of that, of whether you're like a perfectionist or whether you're like so awkward or so anxious, you know, and then you take that to the extreme level where you can play with the comedy of that conflict. It can be really liberating.
Sure.
And so that's like, so I wrote a show recently. I'm doing this show now called Don't Do It, Do It. I just thought I'd plug that in there. Yeah. Or it's actually called Don't Do It, Don't Do It, Do It. But I might shorten the title to Don't Do It, Do It.
I like the shorter title.
That's you like it, yeah? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Because okay. I think everyone has that little argument inside themselves at some point. They're like, don't do it. Do it? Should I? I should do it. Don't do it. I want to do it. I don't want to do it. I've had too much chocolate today as it is. God, do it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, and so I feel like this show, in a way, is like giving me permission to explore that, the don't do it, the conflict within the self, and also explore all these different masks. And so there's points in my show where I do go into a real vulnerability and real fear and real, like, the kind of sensitive, painfully awkward parts of me. And then where it's a bit more of an exploration of where I get to explore all these different aspects of who I am and how I am in clown.
Yeah, sure.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
It's a good journey for the audience as well. Take them on a proper story. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Is that what you try to do with your show?
Yeah, well, with this one. I've done a lot of sketch in the past. Like, I mostly have been doing clown with sketch where it's just like this thing and it's funny and then this thing and then that's funny and this thing and they're totally unrelated or kind of related, or I try to have a thread between them, but doesn't. Yeah, and so with this show, I've fallen in love with stories in the last couple of years, and I've just, I really wanted to create a show that was a story, a journey, an odyssey, kind of epic. That goes into other kind of dimensions.
Sure.
And and for me, it feels more fulfilling as an artist because I don't know. I want to transform people, and I think that really hit me with the work of with this training with Sue Morrison, where she just said, clown, we have to transform. You have to leave a clown show feeling different than when you went in, kind of like a theater show. And I was missing that about most.
Do you mean
of the clown
from the audiences?
I was seeing.
So the audience going into one should feel different walking out?
Yeah, you should have gone on a journey and transform and feel like, whoa, I just experienced humanity, like all these different aspects of humanity. And I feel like, and that's what I endeavor to do with my workshops too. Like at the beginning of, by the end of a workshop, if you do a good workshop, or you go to a good intensive training.
Yeah.
When you want to leave feeling like, whoa, I got way more out of that than I was expecting.
That's what you want. Yeah, if you're going into one, you definitely have expectations, don't you?
Yeah, and you want a deep process, like a deep journey. If you just go through the whole thing where it's just, haha, I had a good time, you forget about it the next week. If you go through a whole process where you're like, oh, wow, this is potent, or whoa, this is hard, this is like, oh, I'm dying inside, and then you come through that, and then you see all these parts of yourself and you feel like, whoa, I just met myself on a whole deeper level than I, it's kind of like sitting in ceremony or something with some plant medicine. You come out feeling like, woo, I'm a new person. Like,
what do you think the importance of clowns are in the world?
I think we're all clowns. So it's like, what's the importance of people? No, I'm
Snaps.
Just kidding.
All right.
I do think that we are all clowns. Like on a daily basis, I'm just like, everyone's a freaking clown. I just see everyone as a clown. And but I feel like the importance of clowning as an art form, as an artistry, is to transform, to celebrate the conflict, to celebrate the problems of humanity, or maybe not celebrate, but really to point the finger at and raise awareness around issues and problems with how we are and who we are and the ridiculousness of humanity.
Sure.
And to give us an opportunity to laugh at, like, oh my God, we're just messed up. Like, we came, we're ruining this planet in the most outrageous way, and everyone's so serious all the time. Like, everyone's just like destroying the planet and then being really serious about it. And you're like, if you're gonna destroy the planet, like laugh, like, I mean? If you're gonna do some real harm here, then like,
at least have some
then
fun
like
doing
let's
it.
Have some fun, let's burn fires. This shit down.
Right.
No,
on.
I'm kidding. I love the planet. I love Pachamama, Gaia, whatever you want to call it. Call her it, whatever.
Do you watch movies?
I do, occasionally.
Okay, right. Okay. Did you ever watch the movie that came out recently called Mother?
No. Is it good?
I can't continue this conversation. Because you haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be just spoilers. I'll watch it tonight.
Well, it's just interesting that you just, the two names, the Mother Earth, Mother Nature names that you brought up.
Oh, yeah. And Gaia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a real care I have a real care for the planet. And I think for me, my big political protest with clown is that we need to that I feel like the big problem that we create a bigger conflict and we destroy this planet because we're so depressed and unhappy as a species, that we're just like perpetuating and triggering this pain into the earth because we're deeply messed up as a
race.
As a race.
Yeah.
And Yeah. So for me, I feel like when people are accepting themselves, loving themselves, looking to create magic, help each other out, live in compassion, live in love and awe of life, of humanity, of connection, then they do less harm to the earth, or they want to do what's best for each other, for the world. And so I feel like that's kind of the little political protest within Clown, is it's like it's all about connection. And connection is everything. I think it's like if you can connect to yourself, you connect to your mother, to the earth, then there's always a respect that's sure. paid. You're always in honor of, you know, paying homage to what it is, this DNA that runs through us, this blood that's like ancient. You know, that runs through us. And then I just, yeah, I feel like that we'll do less damage to the earth if we really want to take care of one another. And I don't really know anyone who's a clown who's just a shitty person who's destroying you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they might drive in cars and take airplanes. I mean, I do.
How is he going to get around?
Yeah, you got to get around. I don't unicycle. I could try. That's my next clown show.
Did you know that mountain unicycling's a thing?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't, but yeah. That's so cool.
Would you do it?
Let's do it.
I know a guy that does it as like a
type. Do you?
I would meditation.
Try. I would do it. I would try. I mean,
downhill unicycle mountain biking.
I mean, I'll try to get on the unicycle first, and then I'll see if I can go up or down on it.
I think yeah. It's,
I'm gonna be covered in bruises again.
Knock out the straight line first. Just getting on it and going in a straight line, and then navigate undulations from there downhill specifically fast. With no brakes.
Yeah.
Well, he said there's a brake. He said there's a brake under the seat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by it now that he told me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's obligations that you have to meet to be a clown that you feel like you didn't want to have to?
Obligations.
Like riding a unicycle?
Or no, because that's circus. I think there's a difference between circus and clown.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's like unicyclists and trapeze artists, and yeah, they do incredible things. And clowns work with them in the circus. But clowns are like, so my teacher, Francine Côté in Montreal, who I'm a huge fan of also, she speaks of, so that the clowns came about to bridge the world between the magic and the impossible and humans. So before clowns were in the circus, it was like the circus was the freak show act.
Sure.
You know, it was the world of the impossible, where people would go to be like mesmerized, like in awe of what humans are capable of.
Also, that they could never imagine. Also, just to switch off their horrible life as well, because if you think like 400 years, 300 years ago, yeah. Life was pretty tough.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And yeah. You just want to have some hope restored. Anything. Any kind. It was like the only hopeful place. The other place people went to spend money or like went to go for entertainment was like watching beheadings and like hangings. Or watch a woman give birth.
You talked about, there's something that we talked about.
Isn't
actually,
that crazy?
The theater. Yeah.
Yeah, I did this site-specific show, and I was learning all about, like Edwardian times, and that women, they call it the surgery, or the theater, like it isn't when you go to get surgery, because that's where people would place bets. You go to the theater to place bets on people who are getting surgeries on whether they live or die, and with women in childbirth, and isn't this crazy? Yeah, and people would be like, oh, she's gonna have a baby and live, or she's gonna have a baby and die.
10 shillings.
Yeah.
10 shillings.
So I mean, the circus was like maybe the only positive place you could go to have like life affirmed. And so, yeah, then they brought in the clowns because it was like to play with the humor of the human nature.
Sure.
So they bring in the clowns to bridge between this world of the impossible and us. So it needs to be human, but then it needs to be so big and grandeur that it like connects to the world of the impossible,
sure.
The world, the realms of, yeah, of like magic. So that's what I think the role of the clown is. So that's why I think we are clowns, but then we extend it. We we times whatever by 50, you know, and go into the ridiculousness of like,
you highlight people's or the traits or the silly things that people do. Sure.
Yeah, and then you follow it to the extent that it can be, and then it transforms, you know, and then it, all the time, I think it's the inner child behind the player, the one with the little joke in the eye that's like, I'm just messing around, I'm just having a joke, I'm just playing a game.
That'll cost you $100.
That'll cost you $100. Yeah, maybe 200. Depending. Yeah.
Yeah. How you doing with that sun?
Yeah, it's okay. I'm like, it's moving.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like see your
face.
I
see that. Yeah, you can like, maybe if you move. What's that?
Now I look like a troll because I'm
hunched.
Still hunched. Wait, I'm sitting in a beanbag chair, which is, you know, really comfortable. And like, I could just yeah, there we go. Adjust. Look at that.
I reckon we get that mic a little bit closer to you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Like this?
Yeah, all right. See how that goes. Is that better?
This is great. I kind of feel like I'm like a royal on a throne.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what do you think, for you, what's the pinnacle of being a clown? Like, what's the top, the echelon, what's that? Is it like to be in Cirque du Soleil, or is it just to constantly travel, or is it to run your own country one day, or what's the pinnacle? What do people aim for, like when they start out being a clown? What's the,
you know, I don't know. I don't know what people aim for, because really it's quite a niche industry if you haven't noticed.
It's either, well,
have you ever heard
street performing or children's parties?
Yeah, basically it's like
funerals.
Woo, what a
yeah.
pinnacle. You know, this has been like the comedy of my life, like the last 12 years, I guess, because I've been devoting my life to clown for the last 12 years. And people are always like, why? Like, that's quite a niche art form that will never make you any money ever. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm so fucked. Yeah. Oh, God.
But can you not wait to buy a house and then put down on the mortgage slip, job, clown?
I would love that when someone gives me money to buy a house. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I feel like, what is the pinnacle? You know, for me, it's like an obsession and an addiction. That's what clown is. And I never really had a goal of where I wanted to be with it. I think it was just the hardest thing. Like, when I went to train with Gollier, I was just like, whoa, clown is beyond me. This is the hardest performance art form there is on the planet. Because it's not playing a character. It's accepting who you are and how you are and how the world sees you. And it's like coming to terms with parts of yourself that you might be pretty ashamed or embarrassed about. And so it's pretty deep process work. And so I think, and also to try to be funny. Oh my God, it's such like, no wonder so many comedians like off themselves. It's like, oh God, it's such a sensitive thing, your humor. And it's so vulnerable. And so it's like to explore, yeah, that is pretty deep, intense work. And so I think that I just, for me, it was like, this is something I love, so I'm just gonna keep training with it and keep going for it. And yeah, I've done all the sorts. Like, I've performed in the circus, and I've done the kids' birthday parties, too many of them. And kids' festivals, so many festivals, and children's festivals, and adult festivals, and street. I've done loads of street performing, and clown's life, like, it's a life development. So I feel like it's a very worthwhile lifetime investment for me, because it constantly teaches me how to connect, how to laugh at life, how to accept my shortcomings, how to laugh through difficult situations, conflicts, traumas, how mm-hmm. to work with trauma, mm-hmm. how to heal trauma. Like, so for me, it's like actually just this kind of huge healing process. And so I think that's why I'm so into it. So I guess, like, you'd say most people's ambition as a clown is to be in Cirque du Soleil, or was to be in Cirque du Soleil, or to be in Slava Snow Show. But the thing is like, Slava Snow Show is basically all men. It's pretty much, I don't think there's any women in that cast. And Cirque du Soleil now has become more about characters. Since they sold out to Disney. Yeah, a bunch of years ago. So since then, I've noticed a huge change in the quality of their productions.
Do you think, like, the quality's gone?
More Disney. Yeah, it's just more like mainstream Disney than it is what it used to be, you know? So there's less of the clown, and there's more of the actor performer, which is also beautiful and brilliant. It's just like now there's kind of less work.
Sure.
For clowns. And there are, every so often, like, there's some brilliant people directing circus shows. Like, Kelma Crystal is a brilliant director of circus, and he's directing a show in Las Vegas next year, and yeah, and that's gonna be beautiful and brilliant. And so there are still some clowns. You know, there is some work for clown.
Sounds like a fight.
But it's a fight. And I feel like right now, actually, in the fringe, it's becoming a massive thing. In the fringe circuit. Yes, because the last couple years, all these people are winning the big comedy awards in the world in the fringe festivals.
Sure.
Are clowns. And have had extensive clown training. So right now, there's a huge upsurge in clowning in festival and fringes.
What do you think that is?
I think because clown to me is like the base of brilliant performance. I don't know, you know, because it connects you to, like, all the training in clown teaches you to have a sensitivity to your audience.
Sure.
To have a pleasure to play a joke in your eye, to have, like, the spirit of you behind anything that you're playing. You know, it teaches you to be really present in the moment. You practice being so present that you can pick up on anything in the room, anything that will, you know, and it also teaches you how to work with the flop. So when the show goes wrong and, you know, like, oh, like my show, the first one at the Adelaide Fringe this year, I forgot two of my main props.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot two of my main props. And I didn't even know where they were. So I couldn't, like, go find them. But I needed them. And I was like, fuck, you know, because I didn't figure it out until I was on the stage, until everybody was in the audience. And, oh, my God. Yeah, it was like, anyway, I was so grateful for all my clown training. Because I just played with the moment, you know, of that prop not being there, to the point where the whole audience thought that there was never any prop there.
Well, that's the key. I remember doing a play in New Zealand. We did a premiere of a Russian play, actually, and one of the key props that was between me and my partner was a pack of cigarettes that I had, and she was we played salespeople that were traveling around Russia selling goods to small communities that came into a lot of money through the mining developments in Russia. And so we would sell them toasters, actually, that's what it was. And one of my main props was a pack of cigarettes. And so every a few minutes, she would ask for a cigarette, a new
this
cigarette.
This is so good.
I forgot it. And I walked on stage, and which was us. Our entrance was us getting off the train at the new station of this new community that we're in. And the first thing I pad myself down. I remember thinking, I actually don't have the cigarettes on me. And so I'm open the jacket pocket, search in the pockets. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm looking. I'm like, have you got the cigarettes? And she's like, and I could see the look in her eye was this was an act of break moment of you're fucking with me right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Have you got the cigarettes? She goes, why would I have the cigarettes? I was like, I think I left them on the train. She's like, you're a fucking idiot. But that was our characters anyway. She was she was she would swear and cuss. And
then did you pretend? Because that would have been
every
clown.
Time she would go to Pev, ask for a cigarette, she'd be like, have you got a... No, you don't. Every time, look at me. And I would, there was some
did you get a laugh every time?
Yeah, we did three or four times through the play.
Yeah.
Especially just the entrance, because it was only the entrance that it was the first sort of 15 minutes of the play. But there was a time when there were pedestrians that were getting off there, and I would ask them for cigarettes, and none of them had cigarettes, because I'm the only person, only fucking actor on stage with cigarettes. So no one had any cigarettes. So fucking cigarettes.
That's so good.
Yeah. So I can empathize. I understand.
So yeah, it's playing with so that when the flop, I don't know, in clown we call that the flop, you know, mm-hmm. When things don't go right, when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's playing with that moment where you're oh, in the shit. But for an audience, it can feel wow, the most special magic. The moment where they're oh, this show is just for me. This show is only, this is just for me. It's never been done. You know, this is live theater. This is why I see live theater. And if you can play with those moments where everybody is just laughing at that, the mistakes or the conflict of being human. It's just so, it's brilliant.
Have you ever thought about doing individual theater performance, one-on-one?
Oh yeah. I've done a bunch of that.
You have?
Immersive one-to-one stuff. Yeah.
There was a show Melbourne a few years ago that was one-to-one, and you would go, the show was quite short, but you would go into this hotel and you would go up to the lobby reception desk. You'd be to see the show, and be I'm here to see such and such show. And that was part of the directions when you bought the ticket. It was go to the desk and ask for the room. And then the reception lady would tell you to sit down in the waiting room. And you'd sit down in the waiting room, and you'd be the only person there in the waiting room. And then all of a sudden a phone would ring, and someone would come and pick up the phone, and they would go, yes, yes, blue, yes, yes, no, hang up. And then we'll go, okay, go up to whatever floor 10, room 37. Yeah. And then you would go up to the floor, go and knock on the door of room 37, and the door would open, and standing in front of you was this huge 6'5" S&M lady, full leather, kit up,
amazing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whip,
yeah.
Hair, the whole lot.
Oh,
great. I'm here to torture you kind of stuff, for my personal pleasure. And the first thing she was like, sit on the bed, and you would go in and you would sit on the bed, and she would be quite talk to you about what your desires are and what are your passions and what do you really want in a sexual way,
what do you really
want, and sit really close to you and make you feel, the idea was to make you feel very uncomfortable and quite embarrassed. And then she would start undressing in front of you and would never get the whole way, but just at the end of the performance, after whatever 10 minutes, she would turn around, she'd go, actually wait there, and turn around, open a cupboard door, and she goes, okay, thank you. And then someone would step out of the cupboard, and then in complete shock, and then turn around, walk out, and she would go, okay, and follow me, please. And she would put you in the cupboard and shut the cupboard. And you'd be in the cupboard with a little peephole, and then someone else would come in.
Oh, wow, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. Mm. But also, I don't know. That would bring things up for me, because if you have... Because wait a second, because if you're in this really... sensitive, like, vulnerable place where you have a contract with this performer, where that's kind of like, this is what they do. They are here to collect your sexual fantasies and to create a space where that's possible. But then if all the while there's someone, you know,
that you don't know about,
just like peeping through the hole, listening to all these things that you didn't have that consensual, you know, you didn't make that agreement. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd feel violated.
But then you get to watch someone go through that.
So then it's like, then I get to violate someone else, go through the... Yeah, I would feel like that would be great if then after, at the end, you can kind of talk to everyone and be like in a kind of safe space where everyone's like, wow, we all felt vulnerable and we all held space for someone else in their vulnerability, and we all know a little secret about someone else here.
Everyone would just go straight downstairs and to the dark little corner of the bar and sit there and just drink quietly.
By themselves? Yeah. And not talk to anyone?
Just process it all, yeah.
Oh my God. Mm.
But I always thought that was like probably one of the most genius.
It's brilliant. It's super brilliant.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I love stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, man.
So what's your plan now? What's your plan now you're in Melbourne?
So I'm doing an artist residency at a gallery called our Second Space Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gallery 2SP is the short form. And they're in Fitzroy, and it's like a queer, inclusive, feminist, safe space gallery.
Sure.
That dedicates a lot of their work towards creating performance and pieces that are inspired by healing and holding space for like traumatized artists to make work. That's in
so
line
every
with
artist.
Every artist on the frickin' planet. Yeah, basically, we're all tortured, tortured souls. And yeah, so I'm gonna develop my show some more, because I've had some ideas since my run in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And I want to take my show to the next level. So I'm gonna develop it some more in this artist residency. And hold some workshops too around ritual performance. I might collaborate with this Heoka Lakota elder.
I'd get a contract.
And create a Heoka clown workshop.
Right on.
So that's a possibility. But yeah, so I'm gonna run a bunch of workshops in the space over the next month or so. That are all kind of in line with like healing and performance and clown. And mm-hmm. These are my interests. And then I'm going to Sydney, and I'm teaching a clown intensive in Sydney. And then I'm flying back to the UK, and I'm running a residency. It was only just confirmed yesterday, but I'm running a residency in Spain with a friend of mine, my friend Alana.
Amazing.
And that will be around clown and ritual performance. A week-long residency in June. So then we'll do that. And then I guess it's the festival circuit, so then I'm just going to be touring UK and Europe this summer.
Yeah.
I missed the deadlines for Edinburgh this year. So I don't know if I'm not going to do it. Like, I might go and do it under the radar just for fun.
Sure.
And then hit it up next year.
Sure.
It was just too much for me. I'm a freelancer, so it's like I'm constantly organizing a million workshops and things.
Sure.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking of going to Vancouver Island, West Coast Canada, and running a residency there at the end of... August, early September, and then I go and teach at a university in Ontario.
Right on.
Yeah, and probably we'll do a run of my show there. So it's like, it's busy.
And that'll be the year. That'll be 2019.
No, and then I'm going to go back to Spain and run another residency in Spain that's in, with a, an amazing artist, incredible visual artist named Danae Brissonette.
Sure.
You have to look her up online. Honestly, okay. She is like, and I say this, I don't say this lightly because I'm an artist and I see a lot of art, but she is definitely my favorite visual artist of today.
Right
of
on.
This era. Yeah, she's a brilliant human and person, and she paints huge murals and makes like wild masks and puppets and these insane huge murals, and she collects folklore story from regions, and then she'll paint this huge story onto but the colors that she uses are incredible, and it's pretty amazing her ethos, because she's always going into conflict regions.
Sure.
So after tsunami, after a hurricane, she'll be there painting like a broken temple that's fallen down, that's got one wall standing, and just paint the most beautiful scenes so that all the people that live in that area still have this hope and this beauty. And she just does incredible work, this woman. So yeah, I'm hoping we're currently organizing a residency. So with both of us, so I'll facilitate clown and ritual performance, and she'll take on more of the visual
aspects of it.
And then,
so it'll be more of a workshop or a residency, so performance-based residency.
Yeah, but all of my residencies are.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like, it's like a workshop. It's a guided workshop.
Sure.
But you are developing and devising work.
Okay.
In it, but you're supported by the.
By the network.
By the network, but yep. It's not a residency where you just sit by yourself all day.
No.
And develop your own
thing.
That's
called solitude.
Yeah, that's solitude. These are more residencies where you're up at 7:30 and you're actively working with the community to develop work and projects. Woo! Yes! What was that?
That was, I didn't silence that track. That's the end track.
Oh, that's the end track of the session.
Yeah. That's like my morning alarm. Yeah. That was cool, though. That's never happened before.
I was like, wow.
That shows how long the last one went for, actually. Was that long?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I just, how I cut them on the software, it's just, I just forgot to silence the track. So that's what the music is.
You could have kept playing with it, and then I could have come up with some sort of monologue that uses the track to lift.
Yeah.
You know, I love that when people do that in shows where they have music that just slightly underscores their big speech about life and my life.
And then the spotlight comes on.
Have you ever done any clown training? No.
I did when I studied physical... I did a lot of physical stuff, so we did touch on it. So I did it more commedia dell'arte, and dance was when I was training as an actor. I did that for 3 years. So, right. But not clown. And then I took up contact juggling, which I was interested in after David Bowie, after watching the film The Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Yeah, contact juggling is amazing with the crystals.
Yeah, amazing.
The resin balls. But I've always been fascinated by clowns. I find them the genius and the simplicity and the. I agree with you about the connection between magic of the circus world or the magic world and the audience, and that, and they're like the facilitators, where the ringmaster is like the guide or people guide them. Where clowns are the ones that highlight people's silliness or what makes us unique as well. And so I completely agree with you. I like the way that you articulated that.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I've always been drawn to that because I've always been comedy based as well. But I love that. I've always been drawn to clown, but I've just never. It's not something that I pursued because I've obviously pursued acting.
Yeah.
Instead.
I think it really feeds into acting, clown training. Really, like I think that's why there's this surge really in the world of clown today. Is that it's like, you know, in my workshops, I'll get spoken word poets and singers people who have no interest in clown whatsoever, but they want the training of clown so that they have a playful relationship with their audience.
Yep.
And they can play with the moment and they can, you know, feel like confident to access all of themselves on
stage.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I think those things all feed in to it. I think it will become more and more. I think it'll just become an art form that becomes more widely expressed and, yeah, experienced. I don't know if that's the right way to phrase it. Like,
it can be if you want.
I think it's going to be just keep getting bigger.
Sure.
Personally. I think it's like exploding right now, and I think it's just going to get bigger, even though it's this super niche. But yeah, when you said earlier clowns, you said something like, are there things that hold me back in clown, or like that I can't access?
Are there obligations?
Obligations, yeah. But yeah, not all clowns wear red noses.
What color is yours?
Well, no, I mean, you can, like, I was in the London Clown Fest last year with my show, and my show was the only show in the whole festival with red nose. Insane.
I'm sure.
Because there's so many people that now are like, well, I'm clown, and you can use the red nose or not. The red nose is just there for the player. It's an aesthetic choice, and it's there for the player to feel more ridiculous. But if you want to not use the red nose, you can also not use the red nose.
Is that seen as retro?
What? The red nose?
Yeah.
I would say so.
Vintage clown.
Vintage clown.
Is
yeah, there's like a new wave.
Of clown?
There totally is.
Oh, my God.
There's the school of idiot, which is like becoming more and more, yeah, more just focused on playing with like absurd idiot.
Sure.
Idiocy. Like, yeah, I don't, yeah. Yeah, I've seen some stuff that's just like classified as idiot. And it's very like kind of clown. It's absurd and it's random and it's just stupid humor. And it's fun. You know, it's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, whatever we got to do to live, you know? I mean, to like enjoy life. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I don't know. I don't necessarily, like there's some things don't go for. You know what I mean?
Like what?
No, I just like immediately, like I was like, I say that and then I'm like, oh, there's a lot of things that people are into that's like really not okay. So maybe not like living life. I don't know.
Oh,
like
right.
Anything that's going to hurt or traumatize someone else.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do those
maybe
things.
Don't do those things.
Yeah.
It's not clown.
That's
it's not like a subcategory of clown.
No.
Bomb suit clown.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's not like if that's how you live your life. Like...
well, it's only a performance. It's a performance you only need to do once, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Once off.
The biggest
tonight
performance of your life. Like, right. Fuck. Yeah, that's
rehearsals
not okay.
Rehearsals would be tough, wouldn't they?
Yeah, so children who are listening to this podcast, it is not okay to do some things, and you might want to ask your mom or dad what's appropriate.
Bomb suit clown.
No, bomb suit clown is not okay.
No, what about a flaming clown?
A flaming clown?
Yeah, a clown on fire.
Oh, is there a hose nearby? Is there like an extinguisher? Are we going to do an extinguisher?
I think so. I think you could do that. There's plenty of jokes like that I've seen that I'm pretty sure where like there's someone, a clown's been on fire and they've gone to get an extinguisher and it's not. And it's got petrol in it or something. It's
oh, man, and it makes it bigger?
Like,
that is very clown.
It sounds clown to me.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess like in a cartoon, but like in real life, I don't know. Because as an audience, if you harm yourself on stage, then the audience feel harmed. Like they feel uncomfortable. You can't harm yourself on stage.
Right.
Yeah. Because the audience are empathetic. They feel what you are experiencing.
Hopefully they are.
Yeah, hopefully. If what you're doing is honest and real enough...
and engaging enough.
And engaging to, yeah. enough, then they care about you.
Yeah.
Unless they just don't care about you and they can't, they've been looking at their phone, they can't wait to get out of there. Yeah. He just looked at his phone when I said that.
Yeah, I actually just put it on
silent.
Thanks,
Kieran.
Earlier. Because I was like, I didn't want it to go off.
Is that because you need to round this up, hey? Because you had the timer music.
Well, there's only
2 hour
parking here.
Oh, is that what the timer was for?
No, the timer on the computer was I was legit about that. That was that wasn't a timer. That was just the end music.
Oh,
I'll play it for you later once we've finished this. But that I didn't set a... I actually forgot what time I parked. It was like 2:30 or
something.
Oh,
like that's why you were just looking at your phone. That was a real look at your phone. I thought that was a joke.
No,
like
it can
play,
be, though.
A
yeah.
play on what I was saying.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Has it been 2 hours?
Yeah, it has.
Oh,
yeah, not
has
the
it?
Podcast hasn't. The podcast has been an hour because we had toast and coffee beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got up at 2 o'clock.
I did. Yeah. I slept right in last night. That was crazy. It was a wild evening.
Sounded it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the life of a Zuma Puma, you know?
A 6-month-old child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those who are wondering, I didn't go out and party hysterically. I had another kind of party. I sat in a sweat lodge with a Heoka Lakota elder.
This is a type of shaman.
Yeah.
And you got
scrooged. It was a different kind of party all night situation. One that then I slept until 2 p.m. all day, basically. Just like, just slept the day away. So.
Hashtag clown life.
Hashtag clown life. Which is my company, if you're wondering, like, if you're sitting there going, oh, I would love to train with this woman. She sounds so interesting. No, I am. It's clownlife.org.
That's
my website.
Oh, that was going to be my next thing. How do people find you?
Oh, yeah. It's Clown Life. I'll just tell people.
Or you could show them on
a
podcast.
Yeah, I could show you on the
podcast. Yeah.
Yes. So it's I'm clownlife.org. Mm-hmm. So www.clownlife.org. And on Facebook, it's Clown Life, all one word. On Instagram, I'm clownlife.global. Or at zumapuma.clownlife is my personal
account. If you just Google Zuma Puma.
Yeah, you could. You might find Jacob Zuma, the president of South Africa.
Have you Googled yourself?
Yeah, or maybe some of my old songs or...
The ones you said you didn't want
to
talk
about.
But when
you Google yourself, you always come up top.
No, you... Really?
Yeah, didn't you know this about yourself? Because it's like set their algorithms, which will set to like how often you look up that name. So it can... So if you look up yourself... It's not like a true...
No, you definitely... It's definitely if you Google Zuma Puma, it comes up with Zuma Puma stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that has nothing to do with South Africa.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Okay, so you can Google me. And, yeah, basically, I'm teaching workshops all over the world all the time. So no matter where you live, I might possibly be there at some point. In time. Although I'd like to maybe find a home soon.
Yeah. Your own one, not someone else's.
Yeah, yeah, my own one. Yeah. Yeah. I've been living in Airbnbs and friends' houses for far too long now.
It's a good life, though.
It is a good life. And it's great. It's great traveling and all these adventures and festivals and... Just having friends all over the world. It's really fun and exciting. But yeah, it can be tiring living out of a suitcase.
Well, this has been good. Thanks for sitting down chatting. I have to wrap it up because I have 3% left on my computer.
Oh my God. What good timing.
Yeah.
Look at that. Wow. The gods of clown are with us today.
So thank you.
Thank you, Kieran. Thanks
for
thinking that I'm interesting enough to do a podcast.
Well, I guess we'll find out with statistics, won't we?
Oh, yeah, we will. Shit. And 2 people listen to this podcast.
No, I reckon we'll get a good whole 4.
Yeah.
5. Tops.
I think I could get 5.
5? Yeah.
So if you get 5 too, then, whoa, that's 10. We're in double digits, baby.
Digits, yeah. Groovy, dude. All right. Well, enjoy. Thank you. And, thank you.
Yay.
Is there anything you want to add really quickly before we wrap it up?
Just like find me on all of the places. If you're interested in clown, send me questions, whatever. I'm interested to talk clown basically all the time. Clown and life and all things connected.
Good.
Yeah.
Crazy. Cool. So thanks,
Thanks.
All right. Thank you for tuning in and checking out that podcast. Heaps of fun. So thank you to you guys listening. Thank you to Zuma Puma for jumping on board and having a great time with it. It was really cool. Don't forget to subscribe and check out some more podcasts, and check you guys later. Peace.